Hello and welcome to this episode of Bloodhound Picks. I am one of your hosts, Craig.
And I'm Jack.
And this episode, we are doing my double feature pick. And it is 2010's The Last Circus by Alex de la Iglesia. And then 2013's Borgman by Alex van Vomerden. From what I heard in the... Hopefully didn't botch that, but that's how I heard it in an interview. So I'm going with that. I guess we'll go in order. This kind of pick, where there are two movies that I've actually been wanting to do on this podcast for some time now, but I always kind of voted them out for something else. And yeah, they're kind of in that weird vein where, you know, because they're international, they're titled as international horror, but also there's the argue that they're more drama, you know, black comedies or whatever it may be. So that's kind of, and they're both kind of have absurdist elements and are kind of bleak for the most. I mean, yeah, I think they're both pretty bleak. So that is the theme we're going with, I guess, for this.
So international, let's start with the bleakness.
Yeah, bleakness is the theme.
So, but only only in other countries, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's
that too.
Yeah, Alex, that do three name elements. So, or more than two, I guess, because. So this is our second movie. Only our second. By Alex de la Iglesia. The first one we did, which was Day of the Beast, that's also on Shudder. There's a great remaster they did that was on, that they made for Blu-ray, that I own, and it looks amazing. And it's a really good movie, especially if you haven't listened to the episode. Listen to it and watch that movie.
¿Los niños se ríen contigo?
No. ¿No? Es que yo soy el payaso triste. Yo no hago gracia.
¡Hola!
¡Ey! Bienvenido al circo, chaval.
Yo digo lo que tiene gracia. ¡Yo soy el payaso! ¡Yo!
¿Te parece la muerte un chiste?
¿Por qué quiere ser payaso?
¿Y usted?
Porque si no fuera payaso sería un asesino.
Pues yo también.
But this one for him is one that's always, especially, well, I guess, with the modern era, it seems like Day of the Beast and The Last Circus are the ones that are constantly referenced. Day of the Beast is references his best by, if you look at any of these kind of rankings and stuff like that, which we normally don't follow. But Last Circus, I think, was kind of one of the ones that is known for doing the most international success. I believe it kind of brought more acclaim to him, stuff like that. Though he's had a long career long before that point. So the story itself, it takes place in Spain and is about a sad clown named Javier, who becomes a sad clown because his father was the funny clown and his grandfather before that was the funny clown, but he never really had a life because of the fascist regimes and everything about it that his father said, go off and become the sad clown, because to be funny, you need to have had a childhood and you haven't. And so we basically, his father ends up becoming, going into a work camp for this kind of fascist government, ends up getting trampled to death by the leader's horse. And then we basically jump ahead to the 1970s, where Javier is now starting as a sad clown. And he falls in love with a trapeze artist. And but she is with Sergio, who is the funny clown. And he is also a violent drunk and beats her. But she likes that, too. And so there's this kind of weird dynamic. And I can see, if you're not watching the video version of this, Josh and Kyle are laughing silently about this. But because it's very crazy, it's hard to explain because it's a very crazy movie. So these two men almost go into this weird competition, but not really, until they both kind of just go crazy and become crazed clown people, but not in the sense that we're used to with other, with, you know, the craze clown horror movies that we continuously see, until, yeah, there's a lot of facial deformations and machine gun violence, and yes, it is bleak. And so I tried to give my best synopsis of what I can talk. I feel like most of his movies are like that, of like, just, so this is kind of the plot, but all of this stuff happens. And so
the plot is kind of non-existent. I mean, it's just this weird love triangle.
That's basically what it is.
Falls then, into just complete absurdity. Yeah.
So I guess, Josh, what were your thoughts on it? Tell us, because I think this was my second watch, or both of these movies too, were films that took me multiple times to get through. I think because of, you have to be in a mood for them because they are not just easy watching. But yeah, Josh, what was it like for your first time watch?
So, yeah, okay. Well, I guess I should start out by saying that Uncle Josh had a few while watching The Last Circus, which is probably the best way of going about it, except for I don't really remember a whole lot of it. But as I was just talking about, there really isn't a plot, right? It's this love triangle, like you said, between the sad clown and the funny clown. And this chick is in this abusive relationship and she kind of likes it, but she also likes both of these guys. And it just gets drug out like for way too long of a runtime. But yeah, these dudes just go fucking nuts, and like it was just absurd. in like, pretty much the only other De La Iglesia film I've seen, which you just mentioned, we did the Day of the Beast episode, which was also fucking absurd. That one a little more so. But I feel like De La Iglesia really has like a distinct, at least storytelling, like style, in that he does do this like bleak shit, but it's always really funny, because I just laughed constantly during this, even, you know, at shit that probably wasn't that funny, but just like the level of absurdity of it, like, you know, it's a decent chunk of the runtime into it when Javier like really loses his shit and he fucking burns his face with the iron and burns his fucking lips and you know what I mean? It's just like, this is so goddamn ridiculous. And then gets the dual fucking Uzi machine guns. And it's just like, oh my God, this is fucking ridiculous. I mean, in a good way, it wasn't bad at all. And it was really cool to see something so fucking absurd that would never get made in this country.
No, not at all.
I mean, ever. There's no way. So yeah, I mean, it was really good. It was just way too damn long. But you know, we had that problem with your other pick too, which we'll get to.
Yeah. But no, yeah, it's a tough one, and it's probably I've seen. But yeah, and going off of Josh, what you were saying is he does have this. Even I would say Day of the Beast is definitely funnier. It's more openly funnier.
Yeah.
But yeah, all of his stuff has this that I've seen, you know, has this kind of hilarity to it. I know what Witching and Bitching, it's been out for some time, but they're finally, I think, going to release the Blu-ray that comes out in October here. But that one's more overtly funny than either of the ones we've talked about so far. But yeah. 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 I think it would be because even now it's like a hard watch to get through. So, but yeah, if it didn't have that humor, I think you would just be like, oh, my, yeah, like 30 minutes in, you'd be just kind of, no, I can't do it, you know?
Yeah,
it
really helps it really helps to have just the level. I don't even feel like we've done that great a job of getting across the absurdity of what actually happens, because it's almost impossible without showing clips or something.
Yeah.
But trust us, this thing is fucking absurd.
And all
and it just keeps getting more and more absurd.
And you never really see him actually perform. It's like, but there's like this chaos in the circus too when a show is going on, kind of and it always has. They call him it's like the ghost rider, which is basically the stuntman. Mm-hmm. And he keeps flying, like during these chaos scenes, they'll be having normal chats or whatever and exposition or whatever. And he'll keep flying and hitting into the wall and just landing on the ground, and, like, you know, getting back up. And it's like this consistent thing. Or the elephant, who is pretty much, women? So the elephant, like, ends up, you find out that it killed the elephant trainer's wife, because it's jealous of other women and all this other stuff.
Fucking absurd.
Yeah. And then it's all shot in a very kind of gray manner too. Yeah, that was my kind of big complaint, I guess, about it, but. Do we have any last minute things, our last words on The Last Circus? Yeah.
Absurd is the word.
Hey, and so now on to another one that it took me a couple tries to watch. This is Borgman.
Vrouw.
Wie is dat?
Goedemiddag. Ik kom me aanbieden als tuinman.
Komt u binnen.
Je mag niet weg.
Dat kan. Maar dat heeft consequenties.
Ik ben gemerkt.
Dr. Baumgarten?
Ja.
Er is iets om ons heen, Richard. Iets wat buiten ons is en af en toe naar binnen glipt.
It's a Dutch film and kind of gets placed in film. For those listening, if you've seen movies like Funny People or not Funny People, funny Games. Yeah, it's like the Judd Apatow movie. Yeah. No, Funny Games. And it's, you know, a lot of those where you have kind of the stranger come into the house. And it's, you know, an upper white class house and kind of really throwing a wrench into all of it. But he, it seems like, has some potentially mystic abilities. But getting into it itself, the character of Camille Borgman is, he's hiding out in an underground house thing. And basically a priest, yeah, lair, and he... him and his crew are being hunted, so he is able to escape, and in trying to escape he comes across this very kind of, you know, upper white home and knocks on the door to get in and get a bath and all this stuff. And to say it, he says, he, the husband opens the door, Richard, and he says, I know your wife. And he keeps kind of messing with him until Richard finally, and it snaps a little bit and hits him. And then the wife brings him in or helps him out and is nice to him. And the wife starts becoming basically obsessed with Camille Borgman in this strange way that's not really explained fully, but she just has this obsession about him. And then she says, well, I can help you become the gardener. And then his team, again, spoiler alert, then start picking off all of these people to then make sure they're all then a part of this family dynamic. And it is not, in a way, it's not like Parasite, because in trying to explain this, I know it can seem like that, but no, it's not like that movie. But yeah, so then it kind of becomes more and more where they're getting the family turning on one another. There's hostilities. So
I mean, this is a film that just gives you so many questions and doesn't answer any of them. And, you know, I mean, the scene that Craig described of the main guy whose name is Borgman and his like compadres, literally they're like in these underground, I don't even know what the fuck you call it. That's how the movie starts. And you're just like, why the fuck are these people underground? What the fuck is this? This makes no fucking sense at all. And then it just goes on to the next thing. And it's like, no, I guess I'm supposed to just not question that. It's fucking weird. Why the fuck are they underground? But that's the first thing that you see in this film. So it literally starts out in this like crazy logic, I guess, where you're immediately asking why. Mm-hmm. And it really never stops. And the more like there's several other weirdo things that go on. Kyle brought up the fact that they all have this identical scar on their back. And it's like, well, we can speculate what it is, but I don't fucking know. I literally have no idea outright why they all have that. What the fuck is it? You know, and that's just one example. There are numerous other things where, you know, you're asking yourself, like, are these fucking people, are they ghosts? Are they fucking sorcerers? You know, like, there's some, like, element of the supernatural in there. It's very fucking subtle, but it's in there nonetheless. And I didn't even really catch it until this was over. And I was just thinking about all these fucking questions that this movie raises and doesn't answer, because it's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you don't like that, you're not going to like this movie, because it literally just ends on, like, what the fuck are they doing? I don't understand any of this, but I liked it. It was just a little too vague.
Yeah.
Just a little too vague.
No, it was too fucking long.
Yeah. There's no way it needed to be as long as it was.
But yeah, I mean, that's what it's in that. I mean, I agree it being too long, but it's in that weird place where it's too long for what it is, but the questions it asks, then it feels like it's too short. And like you were going, like, in that weird time where you're like, okay, well, if you had longer, would you then explain this more? Or are we just kind of, where, yeah, with it just ending? And I think the, I don't know. No, obviously, yeah, no. But yeah, I know it's connected to a fairy tale in the sense of, because he, at many points, again, spoilers, he's sitting on top of, over her while she's sleeping, like the, I can't think of it. Like the, yeah. And it's kind of, and what's interesting, I mean, it kind of adds to the humor, or I guess in the same way as Last Circus, how I was talking about Last Circus, you have Sergio, who is kind of this horrible guy. Then he has this element to kind of, you know, I guess show that element of humans being complicated, where he is very, or he cares a lot about children. In that sense, but then you have somebody like Richard, the husband, who you're the whole time you're saying there, okay, he's like this, you know, very what surface level jerk, you know, upper class, you know, all of this stuff, so we shouldn't like him. And then it gets to the point with, as like it's going on, you're almost like, or Andy's racist too, like that's shown throughout it as well, but like, oh man, I'm starting to feel bad for him, because he's not like his wife is then just like smacking him in the middle of the night, saying that what he cut her leg, even though it was just a dream, and or she's screaming at her the kids, and he's like, hey, why you don't need to scream at them, why are you doing this? And you know, it's interesting in that kind of element.
See, I think to answer, or just to give my interpretation, I think it was instantaneous. Like, this dude is obviously like fucking Dracula, right? Like, he, in some weird way, he's able to influence people. Clearly, he basically makes this woman fucking lose her mind. I mean, you know, to the point where at the very end of the film, she wants him to kill her husband. Like, but why? Like, that doesn't make any sense. He didn't do anything to you, and he's the most sane person out of any of you fucks. And so, you know, it's like, she wouldn't have, I literally think from day one, he has been like in her head. And like those, yeah, you know, you mentioned too, I think it was you, Kyle, that those scenes when the woman, I can't remember, Martina.
Yeah, it's Martina. Our
Marina, yeah, the wife. Yeah. So there are a few points when she's sleeping, you know, like in the evening or whatever, and you just get these shots of Borgman naked sitting on her, which is again the famous painting recreated basically. And it's like, so that's fucking weird, but it's also pretty clear that he's influencing her fucking dreams, right? I mean, that's the whole point of it. Right, because she has, I mean, what, there's like at least two dreams that she has where she's like in like some weird sex thing with her husband, and then he ends up like, I don't even know, like one at one point he like uses a
leg or something.
Yeah, with like a box cutter. Yeah. Or something. I mean, it was pretty nasty, but so yeah, it's odd because the dude is literally, you mentioned, Kyle, you said vampires. I mean, they aside from fangs and being out in sunlight, they pretty much act like vampires.
Yeah. And I don't know, I guess it's one of those two where the only other, I mean, issue again, and this is not to not, as we've all kind of mentioned, the acting is great. It's a good movie. It's just the way the story kind of unfolds, it leaves you with more to be desired. But there are points within how people, some of the characters, like especially the wife, where you're like, okay, so she's getting manipulated, she's turning on her husband, all this, but then a scene later she'll kind of be the voice of reason and like certain elements, and then, you know, the next, where there's little nuances like that kind of feel off. It's not a complete, I guess, kill, you know, downward note, and you can understand some of it, but yeah, it's something you catch, I guess, where you're like, one moment ago you were just screaming at each other and you were being mean to your children, and then next you're sitting at the table and you're like, when your husband's still upset about it, you're like, whoa, what's wrong? You shouldn't be doing that. What's wrong? Daddy's just sad, kids, or whatever she says when he loses his job.
And it was weird too, because it was funny, and it was like not like humorous comedy. It was just like, mm-hmm. I don't even know if it was intentional, but like, you know, we've mentioned that Borgman has like a crew, right?
Yeah.
So again, this shit just comes out of fucking nowhere. He like calls up these two women. It's the first time we've seen these two women, and they're like literally like lethal assassins. Yes. And it's like, what? This guy has fucking like these two female assassin people. Okay, I guess.
They're like doing this very intensive yard work, and they're still wearing their suits.
And their
suits are all plain. Yeah.
Well, and I was just going to say, and speaking of the humor with these two women assassins, so they kill the original gardener of this house where this couple live. They kill the gardener in order to get Borgman the job. And then they also kill the gardener's wife. And, you know, they have to get rid of these bodies. So what they fucking do is they like go through this process of draping the bodies on their stomachs. They're on this bed and they drape like from the waist down, put their fucking heads in buckets, fill the buckets with cement, and then throw them into a lake or whatever. Yeah. And I'm thinking, why are you doing that? Just put their fucking feet in it. Is there like some alternative method to like making sure corpses don't float to the top by doing your head instead of just putting your feet?
And then they cover up the pond and just like throw, you know, grass seed or whatever to let it regrow. And no, but that was an issue, because you have those shots that you were talking about where you see the bodies hit, and it does it about three times, and then it just, you don't see it anymore. I was like, I thought there would be some that would build to something as well. So yeah, I mean, our consensus, I think, on it was that it's good. It's just kind of missing that thing to really, I don't know, bring it, I guess, further. It'd be like really great. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest, I think the biggest issue, which I have with pretty much everything, is this needed about 20 minutes cut out of it.
Yeah.
Which is fucking slower than fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it does. I mean, that's
By the time, and then by the time, like toward the end, when they did like that fucking like act routine, and had the music playing, and I'm just like, what the fuck, man? You don't need any of this.
Yeah. And I mean,
you know, like fuck.
Well, I was even so. This is my guess. I've tried this multiple times. I've said about that. This was my first full, or no, I've seen it. This would be my second full time watching it. But I watched it last time. I watched it. I made it up to a certain point and I stopped. And then I watched it again, finally sat through, and I was like, oh, I was almost done. But then I just gave up. And that's kind of how it feels. And I'd say with the, as we kind of to go back to the very beginning, you know, there's certain movies with the ambiguity where it's justified. Like, I guess the big one in the horror world is Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. Like, whatever ambiguity there is, you're like, okay, it makes sense. A David Lynch movie, it's justified. With this one, it just feels like it's ambiguous for the sake of being ambiguous. I don't know. So that is our last comments on Borgman. If you've seen The Last Circus or Borgman, tell us what you think, obviously. Comment on it if you agree, disagree, whatever it may be. And then, you know, if you have any suggestions for, you know, international horror, obscure, independent films that you think deserve to be have a spotlight shined on it, of course, send them our way, because we're always looking for more and excited to watch other stuff.
Pigs Podcast is part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network, produced by Josh Lee, Craig Drum, and Kyle Hintz. Music by Raymond Seed. Editing by Kyle Hintz.